Good morning. So the way this usually goes when Brett gets sick is an email goes out, and normally if an email goes out, I see it. I saw it Saturday morning, so I was up having quiet times, saw the email, and I'm like, oh, this is one of those ones you don't want to reply receipt on. You just kind of keep your head low and hope for someone else will do it. And so, of course, Jeff James goes, oh, I would love to, but I'm in Missouri. So he got credit as an elder, but he can't be there, so he's got his credit in. And then I'm sitting there, normally, really, preaching. I love to teach preaching. That's a whole different thing. So kind of keep my head low, but God just poked me, on Saturday morning. He's like, you've got something to say. So I thought about it, and I went in to talk to Jody, and, it was after 7:30, so I could actually talk to her, and she was responsible to understand what I had to say. And I'm like, you ready? It's important. And so she's like, all right, you seem excited about this. And so I'm sitting there typing up an email to Brett, who's on his, deathbed in there with the flu, and I had my last chance to go, never mind, because Chris goes, hey, types in and sends an email in before me saying, I'll be ready if you need me. I'm like, oh, I can just delete this thing I wrote. And I'm off the hook. But God's like, no. So obviously God had wanted me up here and had something to say through me. So amen. Hopefully, yes. So for those of you there, if you're new here, my name's Jamie Vandiver. I've been an elder here. I'm on my sabbatical year now, so I thought I got a break from this kind of stuff. But I'm really, really excited to stand before you, and which is kind of an anomaly to give you the word today. So as we sang, one of my favorite songs is "The Glories of Calvary." One because I can play it, and but we've been playing it at the house for a long time, and just that we as Christians would glory in Calvary. It's kind of, you think about what happened there, why would we ever glory? But we do because our freedom and our hope was won that day. And it's interesting as we get ready for Easter and that celebration that Brett's going to talk about the first hint of the gospel next week. When we get into, it's funny, it's all the way back in Genesis 3. The hint of the gospel. And so I'm going to get into that a little bit. Brett's been taking us through Genesis the last few weeks. And so he took us through 2 weeks ago. He took us through Genesis 2, 4 through 25. And he talked about the goodness of God. So this was paradise. And then we go chapter 3 and bad things happen. He took us through the first seven verses of chapter 3. And it was the fall. And who will you listen to? So there's a couple truths I want to tie in for you from chapter 2. In chapter 2, we read about the first marriage. And then in chapter 3, I'm going to take a sneak peek to chapter 3, and it talks about the gospel. So that's what we're going to go through. So it's kind of like we're in the series of Genesis still, but we've come across this really cool footnote in our Bible, and you start reading it, and you're like, wow, that's interesting. And so you keep following it, and pretty soon, as my kids do this thing, you're on a rabbit trail going somewhere. And so we're going to take a little rabbit trail, and this rabbit trail is going to lead us to a wedding. And so since we're doing rabbit trails, we can easily get lost on rabbit trails. And when we get there, we're like, how did we get here, and where are we? So let's pray, because so that God will lead us and take us where he wants us to go. So pray with me. Father, thank you for this day, Lord, to sing those wonderful songs of the glories of Calvary, that you would take us deeper into those truths today, Lord, and that we would see those truths of Calvary all the way back in Genesis. We thank you that your plan has been going on forever, and Lord, we're just seeing it. So thank you for the gospel that you've given us. Lord, I pray that there would be your words that I speak today, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I pray in your son's name. Amen. So for me, preaching, it's like when I was single and I'd have people over and you didn't know what they wanted to eat. So you just fix something you like, so at least one of us would like the meal. So hopefully, one of us is going to like this. Hopefully you all will as well. But this this little home-cooked meal started back in October. So I pray that it will nourish you and that it will glorify our Father. So we're going to talk about three things today. We're going to talk about our role as ambassadors for Christ, talking about marriage and the gospel. The background of this is that Jody and I have the privilege of hosting a OCF/Grace home group at our home on Tuesdays, and we have about 35 young men and women that come in and study the Bible, have some good food, have some good fellowship, and we worship God through song and the Word. So that's where this all kind of began. And in the last year-ish, we had a couple that came and met, fell in love, got engaged. And then on the 10th of February this year, up at the Naval Academy, they were married. And so that is kind of the crucible of where this whole sermon started in my life. So the story is that, to protect the innocent of the story about a wedding, to make it personal, I'm just going to use some, make up some names. So instead of calling him the groom or the bride, I'm just going to call him Matt and Carrie. Okay. Just so it's personal. So last October, Matt had just got engaged. And so he came to the house one Tuesday night and said, "Jamie, I need to talk to you in private." I'm like, "Oh no, something's gone wrong with this engagement. It's brand new." And Jody and I'd give him some little counsel. Our counsel means we sat out by the fire pit and listened to him talk and said, "Dude, you just got to go for it." And so he comes in, and I thought there was an issue. I was going to need to help out, and it wasn't that at all. I was totally wrong. He said, "So Carrie and I independently came up with the conclusion that we want you to marry us." I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me." So it kind of felt like, if you're Star Trek fans, Dr. McCoy, when Captain Kirk asks him to do something that's way out of his medical realm, he goes, and this was my response, "Dang it, Matt, I'm a pilot, not a pastor." And so I did some quick pilot mental math. You flight students know how you're doing that in the cockpit trying to figure stuff out. I said, let's see, God told Matt, God told Carrie, plus God told Carrie, that equals Jamie should obey and say yes. And so I did. And then my next question was, okay, where and when? So the when came out February. It's October. I'm like, I got 4 months. Okay, good. And then he said, where? And he said, the Naval Academy Chapel. Can I get that first slide? I'm like, no, not the Naval Academy Chapel. Chapel's this kind of small, little quaint place. That's not it. So that's the Naval Academy Chapel. It's immense. It's cathedral-like. And so it's very intimidating. And besides that, John Paul Jones, the father of the U.S. Navy, his crypt is right below the bottom. So, I have a little trepidation going on, but this leads me to my first point of talking about our call to be ambassadors. I'm going to share with you a few things that were going on in my head. It's dangerous, Joe. I know. Jody just turned away like, "No, don't show them those things." So what, when Matt's talking to me and all this and God says I should say yes, it's like, what in the world is a Navy helicopter pilot doing representing for God at the most holy of sacraments? God, what have you gotten me into? And so, on my dress uniform, when I'm in my blues, I have my stripes, but at the top of my sleeve, there's a star. And that star means I'm a line officer, which means I'm eligible for command at sea. If you're a chaplain, you do chaplain stuff, you got a little cross up there, but no, I have a star up here. So command at sea things and leadership, those are those things I've been trained for, and I've been done, not this whole doing a wedding. So those conducting a wedding and presiding over it as God's representative was not in my wheelhouse. To marry these friends was unlike any other responsibility I'd ever had before. It was grave, it was humbling, and it was awesome. So this leads me to, I'm scratching a little bit, sorry. So this leads me to three scriptures. And so that question I had of, God, what have you gotten me into? So these scriptures came to mind. If you could put those up there. So let me read them to you, and I'll talk to you about them briefly. So the first one is from Peter, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are to proclaim those excellencies. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So next slide. So from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are the ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. And finally, from 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Not us. For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God. You guys know what commissioned means, right? Commissioned by God. In the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. This whole idea of me as a line officer standing up in the chapel. You can go to the next slide. There we go. So just a little picture of the chapel there and as we rehearsed. That this is exactly what he's called us to do, all of us, not just me. And mine was just a kind of crazy example of what he wants us to do. So as Christians, we've been called to represent Christ to the world. For this Navy helicopter pilot to conduct a wedding at the Naval Academy Chapel was a unique display of his calling. But in essence, it's no different than the call on flight students, college professors, moms, grandparents, high schoolers, got some over here. Let's see, a gardener, a school teacher, an athletic trainer, a stockbroker, an accountant. I could go on and on and on. But you get the point, right? Every day we are called to get up and put on Christ and represent him to the world. This call could be scary. Yes, it is. Intimidating. Yes, it was. And sometimes a bit overwhelming. It surely was. But we must remember it is his call. He gave it to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We will speak and he will speak and work through us. We are not sufficient, but he is. This is exactly the message I try to plant into the young folks in my house on Tuesday nights. This whole message that we are God's ambassadors to the world. And we get to put on these crazy uniforms and we get to go to crazy places and we get a little ID that lets us into a lot of places that other people can't go, and we bring Christ with us. So I speak about it all the time, and so God gave me the chance to live it out in front of them. I'm going to take you back to the wedding story. You know, I'm going to tie, you know, we talked about ambassadors for Christ now, so I'm going to take you back to a wedding story and tie in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. We'll get to the rabbit trail I know you're anticipating. So this past December and January, as I was really getting ready to prep for the wedding and feeling the enormity of this responsibility and very, very insufficient for the task, God illuminated to me the idea that how marriage represents the gospel. Now, I'd been introduced to this class through Sunday school and through the book Tim Keller's The Meaning of Marriage, but I didn't get it. And I didn't get it until I started preparing for this wedding. So let me share with you what I learned as I prepared for the wedding. In the second and third chapter of Genesis, wow, just expanded like crazy. we get a glimpse into these things. So in the second chapter, we look at, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So from my study note, which kind of leads me to the off on the rabbit trail, is here we see God bringing the first woman to the first man. He did not merely provide Adam with a suitable helper and companion. He also established marriage as the first and most basic of all human institutions. Long before there was governments or churches or schools or any other social structure, God established a home based on mutual respect and love of a husband and wife. And all of other human institutions came from it. So way back in the beginning of, you know, in creation, God establishes this core thing in our lives, in our world. And then we go to Genesis 3:15. So this is the peek ahead. Hopefully Brett will be well next week, because no one wants to have to cover on Easter Sunday. So the peek ahead is into Genesis 3:15, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now this, you know, this is right after the fall, and God is talking to Satan, the serpent, and he's telling him this stuff. And it was years before I understood that this was the first glimpse of the gospel. You know, in the study note, it said, a strike to the heel is not deadly, but a crushing blow to the head is. Already God was revealing his plan to defeat Satan and offer salvation to the world through his son, Jesus Christ. Then if we move a few millennia forward, the Apostle Paul ties this together for us in Ephesians 5:31-32. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is the tying thing. This mystery is profound, and it definitely is. If you're married, you know it. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So how he relates this marriage to the gospel, and that, because gospel is that relationship between God, the Father, the Son, and us, his bride. So now I would like to share with you the homily of my friend's wedding, because I think it will illuminate the truth that Paul's trying to state in a great way. So I know in this room there are different feelings associated with marriage. You know, there's some, you know, my kids over there are like, geez, how did I get roped into this? I got to listen about marriage. And then there's some single guys back there like, no way, bachelor till the rapture, yes. And there's all sorts of feelings out there associated with marriage, and I don't know where you stand or where you sit. But as you listen, I hope that you will see the beauty of God's design in it and the immensity of God's love for us. So if you can bring up next slide. There we go. So this is actually Matt and Carrie. So now we're just going to, I'm going to have to use your imaginations, right? I'm going to invite you to go with me to the chapel. It's a chilly, rainy day in Annapolis, and we're all coming to Annapolis Marin to the chapel. So just use your mind's eye to imagine this. You're seated in the chapel. The bride has come, and what 67 yards from the back of the chapel to the front. So it's about 67 yards. She walked down, so we're watching her walk and walk, and it was awesome. And Matt immediately teared up. So we've come to the chapel. We're sitting. The bride's come in. The groom is teared up. The organ has finished its final note, which they held for like an 8 count. And I have one last opportunity to say a few words to them before they embark on the adventure we call marriage. And these are the words that God gave me to say to them. So, you know, if you're with your spouse, grab a hand or put a shoulder, and you can close your eyes and think. But let me just imagine we're here at the chapel, and I'm talking to Matt here, Carrie here, and we'll go from there. So I'll be talking to Matt and Carrie, but you're welcome to listen in. And I would appreciate it, because, you know, all Matt and Carrie are thinking about right now is a kiss and being man and wife. They won't probably remember anything I have to say, and so you can tell them about it. So Matt and Carrie, I was thinking about an acronym that pulls this message together. The first thought that came to mind was all in, because that is what they are. As I watch their relationships with Christ, with their friends, and now with each other, they are all in. It's a rare quality that can only come by knowing you are loved and how much God, you know, how you are loved and, by God and family. With it comes bravery to risk and great beauty of genuineness. Jody and I saw this in them both when they first came to our home. So the first letter in all in is A, which begins with the word Almighty Father. So Matt and Carrie, as you enter into marriage, at the center of it is our God and Father. Marriage is from him and through him. It was designed in creation. He gave away the first bride. He spoke the design of marriage into existence. Leave parents, hold fast to your wife, become one flesh. Marriage is God's doing. Marriage exists for God's glory. The meaning of marriage is a display of the covenant-keeping love between Christ and his people in a way that no other event or institution does. Behind the longing for marriage is the desire for peace and permanence, a relationship based on a covenant we know will be steadfast in an ever-changing world. As Christians, you have the opportunity to show how marriage points beyond itself, but to do so, you will have to stand out from the rest of the world. Matt and Carrie, God is all in for this marriage. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that will now unite and keep you as one flesh. That's a great thought. I got to be here and witness a new thing being born, a new life that shall never be broken asunder. So the second letter is love. Today you will pledge your love to one another in front of many witnesses, a love to last a lifetime. But Matt, you cannot fully love Carrie until you are fully loved, and Carrie cannot fully love Matt until she is fully loved. It's a catch-22. As you've seen, marriage was designed from the beginning to display the new covenant between Christ and the church. The very essence of the new covenant is that Christ passes over the sins of the bride. His bride is free from shame because she is not because she is perfect, but because she has no fear that her lover will condemn her or shame her because of her sin. This is why the doctrine of justification by grace through faith, it's at the very heart of what makes marriage work the way God designed it. Justification creates peace with God vertically and in spite of our sins. And when experienced horizontally, it creates shame-free peace between a man, an imperfect man, and an imperfect woman. This is good news of great joy. That in that Jesus has loved them both completely. There is nothing hidden from him. Because you are fully loved by Jesus, you can now fully love each other. You must keep your eyes fixed on the true lover of your soul that you may learn how to fully love each other. Soon, you will give a ring to one another, which I will hand to you as God's representative. Yeah, that's what sobered me up during this whole thing. I can come talk to you and preach to you, but I was responsible to stand before these two as God's representative to bring together this family that he talked about and that he ordained and he designed. And it was a scary, scary thought to think that I was going to be a part of this. It's easy to sit out and be witnesses and go, I'll pray for you. But I totally felt like I'm God's guy up here. And so it was an amazing feeling. It's hard to describe. Oh, I've lost my place. So, okay, because there we go. We must keep our eyes fixed on the true lover of our soul. So soon we will give a ring to one another, and I will hand it to you as God's representative. In the same way, love comes from you, but marriage is from above, from God. As high as God is above man, so high are the sanctity, the rites, and the promises of love. This is one to hold on to. It's not love that sustains the marriage. But from now on, it's marriage that sustains the love. The third letter is leadership. Matt, as the husband, is called to lead his wife, to love her as Christ loved the church, to give himself up for her, to present her to Christ. Carrie is called to, is commanded to submit to your own husband as the Lord and respect him. Easy, right? When you think about these things, and I know we all do, and they did, that you quickly realize that left to our own strength, we will fall short. So So when Moses was told to go to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say, let my people go, I think he felt the same way. Like, what have you got me into, God? And so throughout this amazing encounter with the Lord, Moses does what we often do, is we evaluate what God has put on our plates and how he has called us to respond. Moses omits the ultimate fact that changes everything about the way we think and should respond to God's call. That fact is not the difficulty of the calling or your perceived ability to answer the call. It's not the size of the situation or the size of your wisdom and strength. This life-changing fact is that the God of glory and grace, who calls his people to do his will on earth, always goes with them as they obey his calling. He never sends them out without going too. When he sends you, he doesn't just give you a bunch of stuff to help you along the way. He gives you himself because he is what you need, and he alone can give you what you require. So the fourth letter is I, intentional. So you both have been very intentional during your courtship. When you walk out of the chapel today, it will seem like the quest is over, but it's only beginning. Today, you begin the great quest of truly knowing each other. Marriage provides a space for some deeper than mere romance or sexual desire or fleeting feelings to keep a couple married. Marriage is the covenant that enables deeper, richer love to flourish, even in the difficult times of life. Marriage is not just a relationship, but also a responsibility. Marriage involves an expression of love, but it also includes your contribution to the world to create a haven where your family is stable, where your children know both their mother and father, where trust is granted and love displayed. It provides wonderfully fertile soil to grow in. When you make a vow, you create an island of certainty in a heaving ocean of uncertainty. When you make a vow, you've created a small sanctuary of trust within the jungle of unpredictability. And it is there that you can flourish as a couple. I'll pause there. I think that's one of the things that for me has been the greatest with my wife, is that she has always been my safe place. I'm loved. I can go battle when we go out and do great battles in the world. Could just be your boss that you're battling with that day, and you're beaten down, and it's just a hard day. But I can face any drag, and I can face any battle because that girl loves me, and I know, you know, that is foundational. So the final letter is N for new. Today, a new family will be created. Can you grasp that? It's something brand new, never been, never will be again. Today, a new family will be created. It's an incredible creation with a far-reaching touch, one which we cannot see nor comprehend. One day you will look back on this moment and realize you had no clue what you were getting into. Well, Jody and I had first date to wedding was 4 months. And so we stood up there. We looked back now and we're like, I didn't even know you, you know? I knew God said yes, but I didn't really know you. But, you know, but it's new. So standing here, you couldn't guess the tenth of it, but you didn't need to. You made a promise. You will recite a vow. More importantly, you know that God has brought you together and put his stamp of approval on it. You can step into the mystery of the unknown with confidence. As you stand here on the precipice of a grand adventure, marriage, leap over. Be all in. God is. So, the bride and groom, they kissed, and clicked his heels, and they walk out of the chapel, they do a sword arch, and it's over, and so they've left the chapel, and so must we. So we're back here now, and I hope through sharing this moment with you that you've seen the meaning of marriage revealed in the early chapters of Genesis, in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And as I close, I don't know how you relate to marriage right now. It may be so sweet, or it may be an anathema, just yucky, or somewhere in between. But the good news is the gospel is for us all. The love of Christ for us is lavish. It's unending. It is the grandest adventure of all. So leap over. be all in. God is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you are all in for us, that as we sang about those things today for the cross of Calvary, that Jesus was all in for us. Lord, we didn't deserve it, but you found us when we were dead and you gave us life. Lord, we just rejoice in who you are and the life we live. So Father, help us go from this place, Father, knowing that you have a call in our lives to go and be ambassadors for you in this world, that as we go out, that we will be, doesn't matter whether we want to or not, we will be the essence of Christ in the world. Lord, may we bring life to this world. Thank you for loving us. Thanks for this time to speak of you, to bring you glory. And I pray in Jesus' name.